96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. This has been a violent year for the District of Columbia. The high homicide rate has skyrocketed. City leaders are scrambling to address the surge in crime. Social politics have put police in the spotlight, not just in the District of Columbia, but across the nation. Well, tonight, we're talking about those issues and much more with the other side of the police department, the police union. Greg Pemberton is a D.C. police detective. He's also treasurer of the Fraternal Order of Police. So tonight we are talking to them about a great many issues. We're also, of course, talking to you. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Of course, you can also find me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR, hashtag The Daily Drum. Detective Pemberton, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Harold, thank you so much for having me.
Let me first ask you about some things that have happened today. Baltimore, there was a settlement in the Freddie Gray case, $6.4 million. This was a civil settlement happening before the six officers go to trial. Is that a good thing or a bad thing from the perspective of a police officer?
Well, it's frustrating for a police officer because I think that, like a lot of police officers, we think that they deserve their trial, and everyone's innocent until proven guilty, police officer or otherwise. Really what it seems like is, and this is nothing new for city governments, they don't want to go through litigation. Trials are ugly, and certainly in a city like that that's going through a lot of turmoil, I think they want to avoid any opportunity they can, or they want to avoid any opportunity they can to have any kind of protests or anything thing that happened like we saw a few months ago.
So you're not surprised by the settlement coming as quickly as it has?
No, I'm not. It's clearly a move on the city's part to make sure that there's not a long, drawn-out civil trial regarding what happened.
And the mayor herself, Stephanie Rawlings-Blake, did say those exact words today. Okay, I appreciate that. Also, this coming down today, District 7 here in the district, a commander, Willie Dandridge, you probably know about this, has been relieved of command, replaced by former commander for District 7, Vendette Parker, because of the surge in crime in District 7. From your perspective, what's going on in District 7?
Well, I'm not really sure why they made the switch on the commanders there. I can tell you that there's not a lot being done about the surge in violence. I'm not going to blame anyone for a surge in crime other than the criminals themselves who are committing it. So it's certainly not any fault of the police department, anyone on the police department for that matter, that crimes are happening. But what I can blame is the fact that our response to those crimes hasn't been adequate and has been less than stellar. And I think a lot of the problem that we're experiencing right now is that our police chief, like a lot of police chiefs in large cities in this country, have scaled back their efforts for proactive policing to go out in these neighborhoods and make sure that the officers have a good opportunity to see what's going on and investigate crime. And they've done that as a knee-jerk reaction to what's going on in the country, as a response to some of the things we've seen in the media about police officers. And that has created a vacuum of enforcement, which has allowed people that have nefarious and malicious intentions to take advantage and take over these neighborhoods and commit crimes.
Define proactive policing.
So, for example, some of the things that we're seeing the chief do now is what we call, I mean, these are very ineffective, but these fixed posts or light towers or some of these tents where officers are stationed all day passing out flyers about crime prevention. Particularly the fixed posts, these officers are given a block or an address even, or even an intersection where they're just supposed to sit all day long with their lights on, or if they don't have a car, just stand there and make sure that they make their presence known at that very spot. And frankly, that's not proactive policing. That's reactive policing. That's literally trying to scare people away like a scarecrow. But what proactive policing is when you tell police officers, hey, this neighborhood is your beat. And that police officer, being well-trained and well-educated, knowing what goes on in that neighborhood, can drive around and investigate things that he finds suspicious or, you know, improper going on. He can go into alleys. He can go into courtyards. He can go into buildings that have, you know, regular calls for service or have been known to be trouble spots for crime and investigate what's going on in those places. And the officers know where stuff is going on. But the problem is when you take that officer and you tell him to stand on the corner all day or for his entire 8-hour tour, the criminals are going to know, all right, that guy's stuck there. He's not going to do anything. So they're just going to go around the corner and do whatever it is that they want to do. And that's why we're seeing this spike in crime, because there's nobody out there proactively policing these neighborhoods.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. We are talking to Detective Greg Pemberton, who is the treasurer for the Fraternal Order of Police here in the District of Columbia. We're talking about the homicide situation, the homicide rate surging here in the District of Columbia, and other other crime-related issues, law and order issues here in the district. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call. Regine calling from Silver Spring. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I agree with the detective that it's the criminals who are committing the crimes, and we cannot hold the police or the police chief accountable. What I'd like to know is, when are we going to hold parents responsible for their children's behavior?
Okay, all right. That may be an interesting question, but my question to you is, what responsibility do you believe the police have to help parents parent?
I think that we might need some parental support and help and classes on parenting for a lot of these parents who have no experience or no clue.
But do you think that that's the responsibility of the police department? And let me ask Detective Pemberton, because maybe I'm speaking out of turn. Is that something that the police department can help and when you're dealing with juvenile-related issues?
So certainly this is something we hear all the time, is that it's this systemic socioeconomic issue about education, poverty, jobs, you know, familial relations, raising children. And that's all true. You know, policing is just a really small portion of the pie in terms of dealing with crime. And typically what we do is that we're reactive. We show up after a crime has occurred and investigate what happened. We try to prevent crimes as much as we can, but really the way police is designed is that it's reactive. It's reactionary. So when it comes to those issues, I think the caller is absolutely right that is something that needs to take place, but that's something that would take place over a long period of time. And unfortunately, it's not under the purview of policing. It's more under the purview of the government itself in terms of education and jobs and poverty. But what I can say from the union's perspective is this, is that what we're trying to do is something that's immediate and is effective instantaneously. Because all of these solutions that people come with, while they're completely valid, like this young lady here, that's something that we would see over the course of a long term, maybe a generation, to see the effects of parenting actually result in a reduction in crime. So what our main concern is that right here and now, we're looking at a doubling, 100% increase in homicides in the 7th District right now. That's something that needs to be addressed today or tomorrow, something that we can go out on the street and take action immediately to try to reduce these things from happening. And while I appreciate the sentiment, unfortunately, it's really not under the police purview to start talking about education and training.
Regine, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. We are talking to the Fraternal Order of Police, Greg Pemberton, a D.C. police detective and treasurer of the D.C. Fraternal Order of Police. What do you think is going on in D.C.? What would you like to ask D.C. police if you had an opportunity to do so? Phone calls are coming in. We will talk to you after the break. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about D.C. crime, law and order issues here My guest is Greg Pemberton. He is a D.C. police detective and treasurer of the Fraternal Order of Police. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. That's 855-288-4876. Let's go back to the phone lines. We have an anonymous caller calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, how you doing?
You go right ahead.
All right. Yes, I'm a 26-year vet. And I've been, I'm going to say what district, but a lot of the officers are burnt out. You know, the older officers, they're burnt out. You're getting officers that's retiring, getting officers that's quitting. So the officers that's remaining are getting stressed out from the work overload. And, you know, that's kind of hard on a lot of these officers. So I'm assuming that's how a lot of crime is picking up also.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Quickly, Detective, what's the best way to address that issue? Obviously, this is not an issue that is specific to D.C. We're seeing that all over the country. But from your perspective, how should that be addressed?
Well, certainly. I think what officers are talking about is attrition, is the fact that we've been losing officers and that we're understaffed. Really, the department is approved to have about 4,000 members by D.C. Council, and we really only have about 3,800. And that's including a lot of people that aren't eligible to go out on the street. It recruits people out on sick leave, people who may be on contact, you know, officials that don't normally patrol. We're really probably in the neighborhood of about 3,400, 3,500 people that can actually go out on the street. So we're probably about 500 short of where we should be. And that being said, the alarming part about it is the number of people that are leaving, as the officer stated. We have a lot of people that over the past 20 months we've lost 629 people. That's an alarming rate. It's almost 18%, and that's much higher than a national average. And the reason is because it's really a toxic environment in this police department when it comes to management and discipline and scheduling and pay. We're really just not a very competitive place when it comes to those things. So we see people leaving in droves. First of all, officers normally don't retire until recently, right at their date. People would wait, you know, they're eligible for retirement at 25 years, but people would wait until 26, 27, even 30 years before they retired because they liked working here. Now what we're seeing is guys with these countdown clocks on their phones and apps that tell them how much time they have left because they're so excited to get out of here.
Let me grab one more phone call quickly. Tracy calling from Fairfax. Very quickly, Tracy, I may have to take you on the other side, but go right ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to commend the Metropolitan Police Department. They're doing the best they can with the resources that they have, I feel. I just want to know, D.C. being as small as it is, I live in Fairfax. The Fairfax County officers, I know they have their own reputation, but I just want to know why it's so hard to contain just a small city. And my county is huge, and we don't have these issues. And if you could just shed some light of it, why is it an issue with a smaller city that's just borderline to Fairfax?
Well, hold that point.
We don't have any of these issues.
Tracy, if you can hold on, I'll have him answer that question on the other side. So if you are on the phone, that includes Douglas in Maryland, C in Baltimore, David in Bowie, please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Please do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program. Angela Stribling is in for Jeff Brown with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. We will continue to take phone calls on the other side at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810 outside of the D.C. calling area. 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. We'll be back in just a few seconds. Stay with us.
The Howard University Radio Network is